Chapter 20. I fumed all the way home, thinking of things I should have said and would have said if I had thought of them in time. My hindsight is good, but that rude man had caught me off guard, and I guess the shock of it sort of numbed my brain. Ulysses and Penny met me at the door to the kitchen. I dropped to my knees and hugged Ulysses. Penny didn't go in for hugging, but I stroked her as she rubbed against my legs. "You guys are balm for a sore ego," I told them. "You're very nice to come home to, and I think you deserve a treat." I felt blessed that both Ulysses and Penny resided under my roof. Without them, I'd be lonely and have no one to talk to. I made sure their food and water dishes were full, then offered each one a small snack. I was just about to fix myself a nice, calming cup of chamomile tea when the phone rang. Caller ID told me Ken Riley was on the line. What a surprise. He sounded urgent. "Ned, are you busy tonight?" he asked. "I just have a date with the television," I answered. "Would you consider coming to supper with me? I really need to talk to you. The Wildwood has pretty good food. Are you interested?" He needed to talk to me? Why on earth should he? I tried to digest this surprising statement. The Wildwood restaurant served delicious food in a lovely atmosphere of candlelight, soft music, and a view of the river. But why go there? What was wrong with Grandy's? My curiosity was definitely piqued. "Sure," I said. "I'll pick you up at 6, Ken said, and hung up. "Now, what was that all about?" I asked Ulysses. It couldn't be that Ken was romantically attracted to me. He was several years younger, and we had barely met. However, I admitted, there was something about him that seemed comfortable, as if I had known him for a long time. I climbed the stairs and searched my closet for something to wear, something suitable for the Wildwood. At last I decided on a soft blue dress that draped nicely and a pair of matching low-heeled pumps. It had been the kind of day that set the adrenaline flowing, and the run-in with the rude stranger who accosted Jules and me had really got my blood boiling. Now it all seemed to evaporate, and I realized I was tired. The bed looked inviting. Lying down for a short rest was definitely in order. I hadn't meant to doze, but soon I was dreaming. I was riding Miss Evangeline's little mare toward the edge of a cliff. Somebody somewhere was banging a drum and shouting my name. The banging got louder, and I swam up through layers of sleep to realize the noise I heard was someone pounding on my front door. Stumbling downstairs, yawning as I went, I heard Cade on the porch. "Ned, are you in there?" He was fumbling in his jeans pocket for his key when I opened the door. "Are you all right?" he asked. "I was about to get alarmed." I rubbed my eyes. "Sorry. I was asleep, and it took a while to hear you. Is everything all right?" "Yes. I was just on my way home and wanted to drop in for a minute. Are you busy tonight? I'm in the mood for a hamburger and a shake from Grandy's. How about you?" My heart plummeted. I hadn't planned on telling Cade about my dinner date with Ken. But honesty is usually the best policy, so I took a deep breath. Looking up into his eyes, I said all in a rush, "I'd love to, Cade, but Ken Riley asked me to eat with him at the Wildwood." Those eyes, which had been warm a second ago, now reminded me of blue ice. "Ken Riley?" he repeated. I nodded. "Why?" he asked. "Well, he asked me and said he needed to talk to me, and I thought maybe he would tell me something that would shed some light on Miss Evangeline's death, or perhaps Lila Fletcher's." Cade's voice was quiet. "Ned, Ken Riley is a suspect in the murder of Miss Evangeline." I felt my scalp tighten. "Murder? Do you mean Dr. Gormley decided it wasn't an accident?"
"Her head wound. It was made with something heavy and round. But her death wasn't caused by falling on a rock. She landed on her face when she fell. The bruises and scratches testified to that. While she was lying there on the ground, someone came up, stood over her, and smashed in her head. But when we reached her, she was lying on her back."
I felt cold all over. "How do you know this?" I whispered.
The forensics team and Don Gormley are pretty knowledgeable and thorough, and the doc said she was unconscious for several hours before she was found. Who found her? Ken Riley. Tomorrow I plan to bring him in for questioning. I took Kate's hand and drew him into the house.
Wait, come in and sit down. I can't quite believe all this.
We went through the living and dining rooms to the kitchen. I dropped into a chair, propped my chin in my hands, and stared at Cade, sitting across from me.
I'm sorry to be so blunt, Ned, he said, and I wouldn't have broken it to you like this, but you said you planned to go out with this guy.
No, I don't, I muttered. I plan to eat supper with him and hear what he wants to say. Maybe he has news about Miss Evangeline. Maybe he found out who really killed her.
Cade's laugh was grim.
Right. And maybe he's just trying to get you on his side. Or maybe he thinks you're getting to be too nosy for your own good.
You've already convicted him in your mind, Cade. I'd like to hear his viewpoint. There could be a very good explanation for those forensic findings. It's just hard to believe Ken would kill anybody, especially Miss Evangeline. He seemed genuinely fond of her.
Cade stared at me, shaking his head. At last he said, So you are determined to go eat with him?
If you forbid me, I'll not go. But I think I should.
He left soon after. Waiting until he had disappeared down the driveway, I went to my telephone. I did not want Ken to pick me up. I'd drive and meet him at the restaurant. Being with him with others around was all right, but being alone with him in a car wasn't. Not now. Not after the bombshell Cade had just delivered. Besides, meeting him would seem less like an actual date.